This morning, I want to draw your attention to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And for the purpose of preaching, we're just going to lift up verse 12. In your leisure, I encourage you to read the entire chapter. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 12. Our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. This morning, I want to share from the thought, from prayer to victory. From prayer to victory. Jehoshaphat, the king, must have been panic-stricken when he heard about the huge army of the Moabites and Ammonites heading toward his little kingdom of Judah. These two neighboring nations were ancestral enemies and formidable opponents. What could little Judah do to defend itself? When you are caught without defense, you do what any wise leader should do. You pray. So Jehoshaphat gathered his people together, not as an army of soldiers, but as an army of prayer warriors. The enemy was on the banks of the Dead Sea, too close to Jerusalem for comfort. The watchful would have thought it was time for fighting, not praying. But this wise king gathered the men of Judah in the temple for some serious prayer. Our scripture verse is the culmination of that prayer, the closing confession to a just God. My brothers and sisters, we 21st century Christians tend to turn to prayer as a last resort. We prefer to take the burden on our own shoulders and attack our problems with our limited abilities and resources. And when we have thrown everything at our enemy to see what sticks and we find ourselves backed into a corner, only then do we turn to the Lord for help. As it turns out, Jehoshaphat employed the most powerful weapon he could have used against his enemies. When you read the rest of the story, you discover that no Judean army was organized and not a single sword was drawn. The only weapon was their choir of Levites who used music rather than spears to stop the enemy. You would have thought they were marching toward the Moabites and Ammonites with the latest artillery as they crested the hill and their music crescendo filled the valley below. They half expected to find an army of insurgents standing at the ready, waiting to plummet them with glistening swords. But instead, all they found was a field of dead corpses. We have heard that prayer is powerful, and some of us believe it. At my home church, just before the prayer period, we would say, "Much prayer, much power. Little prayer, little power. No prayer, no power." So what kind of prayer was this that fueled so trusting an army of praising songsters? Our text reveals first that Jehoshaphat's prayer reveals his confidence in the midst of despair. Despair is a common human experience. We have all felt despair during difficult periods in our lives. We may occasionally despair about our jobs, marriage, love life, family, finances, world events, and the list goes on. But typically, this despair dissipates in time and life goes on, at least until the next crisis. When despair doesn't dissipate, but rather deepens, hunkers down, takes control, and becomes chronic, diminishing quality of life that impairs functioning and keeps us from moving toward our goals, dreams, and desires, it has become a more serious problem. Despair has a way of bringing us to our knees, where we should have gone in the first place. In despair, the king prayed, saying, "Our eyes are on you." To deny despair's impact on us is to deny our human nature. The Apostle Paul wrote about his despair in his second letter to the Corinthians, Paul wrote that he and his fellow disciples were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. But Paul quickly learned that in such despair, the best place to turn is to the Lord. He wrote, "Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God, who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a peril of death, and will deliver us. He on whom we have set our hope, and he will yet deliver us, you also joining in helping us through your prayers." Notice how quickly Paul acknowledged the value in corporate prayer. That is, all of us praying together. There is strength in prayer. That is why Jehoshaphat called all the men of Judah to the temple to pray. Jehoshaphat drew his strength from God's promise given to his forefathers that the land of Judah was a gift from God. And despite the fact that Jehoshaphat appealed to God, that enemy hostility seemed to him to be a poor way to demonstrate Judah's rightful ownership of the promised land, he still confessed that the nation's only confidence was in the Lord. That is what happens when all other battle resources are taken away. It's in the very depths of our despair that we finally turn to God and pray. In the words of an ancient hymn, "God is all my trust, firm as his promise stands. I know he will secure what I've committed to his hands." If you are going to take a stand against an enemy, it is best to start by putting all of your faith in God. Not only does his prayer reveal his confidence in the midst of despair, secondly, Jehoshaphat's prayer affirms his belief in victory. "We don't know what to do, Lord, but you do." That is what he said. While all the congregation listened with bowed heads, and if you skip down to verse 14 and 15, you discover that Jehaziel got the Holy Ghost, as we would say. He heard not only the words of Jehoshaphat, but he felt the Spirit of the Lord upon him. And he declared, "Be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." All that Jehaziel declared came to pass. It was proof that the Lord was always in control from the beginning. He was just waiting for those knees to bend and those hearts to be ready to receive his direction. Their victory was always assured. We do not always see the Lord in the midst of our battles. Sometimes we allow God's plan to be overshadowed by our own despair. But when the battle is over, there will be time to shout. When we recount his past glory, we will shout. When we remember how he delivered us, we will shout. When we reminisce over all our victories, we will shout. When I think of his goodness and all that he has done for me, I don't know about you, but my soul cries hallelujah. Why wait till the battle is over? Shout now. No matter how bizarre your battle may be, it's not yours. It is the Lord's. If you live within his will and you have a firm grip, a firm grasp on his hand, the Lord will fight your battles. You may not be a pacifist in the battle. He may not ask you to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. There may be some blows you will have to strike or even take for God, but he will be your guardian and he will be your guide. Not only does Jehoshaphat's prayer reveal his confidence in the midst of despair, not only does it affirm his belief in victory, but finally, Jehoshaphat's prayer reveals a prepared nation. Judah was ready to stand their ground for God. You hear it in the melody they sang. "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Standing your ground with God is a lot different than standing your ground with carnal weapons. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Paul writes that God will destroy anything that exalts itself against God's wisdom. He will make your enemy your captive if you live an obedient life. Our victory is most likely assured when we thank the Lord in advance, when we go into battle expecting to triumph. It is the greatest demonstration of our trust in God. A thankful heart assures we will have something to be thankful for. Does Jehoshaphat's prayer change your prayer life? Is your prayer an act of surrender? Is your prayer a confession of faith? Does your prayer reveal your priorities or God's? Bizarre battles will come and they will go. David said, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Making your prayer an act of surrender may just be the boldest venture you will ever take. Do not look at your battle. Look to the Lord. The presence of the Lord can be your joy in the midst of sorrow, courage in the midst of conflict, peace in the midst of persecution, hope in the midst of heartache, confidence in the midst of challenges, and your delight in the midst of discouragement. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world. Even our faith. Are you ready to trust Christ and let the Lord fight your battles? Then come, confess that you are His and He is yours, and you and I can move from prayer to victory. That is God's word for the people of God this morning. Maybe there's someone on this line today that has not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. I want to extend the invitation to salvation. Please repeat this prayer after me. Dear Lord, I acknowledge that you, Jesus, are the Son of God. I believe that you died on the cross, that your blood was shed for my sins, and that you arose from the grave and conquered death. I understand that I was born a sinner and that I have sinned by disobeying your commandments. I ask you to forgive me for these sins. Please change my heart to be like yours, loving and full of forgiveness. Help me to obey your teachings as recorded in the Bible. Bring people who can help me on this new path. Be my Savior, be my Lord. Thank you for saving me from death and giving me new life. Amen. If you believe this prayer, you shall be saved.